In John chapter 1 this evening, reading from verse 45 through verse 51, I want to title the message this evening, Nathanael, in whom was no guile. We find that he was an ordinary man, ordinary background, but an extraordinary faith. Notice as we come here and begin reading in verse 45, we were in this chapter last week looking at Andrew, Peter's brother. We find here in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Heavenly Father, we do ask again tonight for thy blessings upon the reading of thy precious word. Lord, we ask again for help as we come here to look at this particular text. We pray for thy guidance and thy leading, and we pray, Lord, that you'll give us something that will help us in our Christian life. For we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Nathanael, his name means gift of God or God's gift. And we find a man here who became a great example of the Christian faith, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just give just a brief introduction. I just have two things we want to consider tonight. We want to consider his faith and also his promise. But just a brief introduction. Notice as we come back to verse 45 and verse 46. Now, let me just say this before I read these two verses. He is traditionally considered to be Bartholomew, one of Jesus' apostles. And I'll give you these verses in just a moment. And this is accepted, by the way, by most biblical scholars over the years. They could call him Nathanael Bartholomew. Now, the reason that this is believed, and I agree, I wouldn't debate it with anyone. But what we find here, John uses the name Nathanael. He uses it here in this chapter, and also in chapter 21 and verse 2. And chapter 1 basically tells us mostly what we know of him. That's the reason I want to kind of camp out here in this particular chapter. But in chapter 21, verse 2, John never mentions Bartholomew in his list of disciples. And the other three Gospels never mention Nathanael. And that's Luke, Mark, and Matthew. Now, in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, if you want to write that down. And again, you'll find this in Matthew 10 and Mark 3. But when we did a series not all that many years ago on the 12 apostles, we went back to Luke each time because it gave us a lot of information. We found the Lord praying through the night before he chose apostles from the disciples. And I believe that he prayed mainly. I mean, the Lord knew who he needed to choose, but I think he prayed mainly for what they would have to go through and encounter as apostles of his. But Bartholomew is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only John here uses Nathanael only in two chapters. And one writer made this statement. He said, Bartholomew and Nathanael are recorded in the listings of the 12 apostles, but never together. So that's the reason that most biblical scholars believe it's the same person. A harmonized reading, another quote, a harmonized reading of the Gospels tends to identify Nathanael with Bartholomew. And again, John never mentions Bartholomew in his list of disciples, and the other three Gospels never mentions Nathanael. And so this man, Nathanael, is a native of Cana of Galilee, according to John 21 and in verse 2. So notice in verse 45 and verse 46, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. We find here we talked last week, verse 36 through verse 43 or verse 44. We find that Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. And we find that John pointed his disciples to Christ. And Andrew goes and leads Peter to the Lord. And we find here in this text, Philip leads Nathanael to the Lord. In other words, friends, don't let friends go to hell. Amen? Amen? You've heard the other saying in the world, have you not? Friends don't let friends drive. Well, in the Bible, friends don't let friends go to hell. Now, what we have here in our text, we have a beautiful description of his encounter with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. Now, notice here again, coming back to verse 45, let us consider, still with the introduction, notice we find here that Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Of course, we read in other places, and like in Luke 3, verse 23, the son of Joseph, as was supposed. Now, notice in verse 45, the information that is given to us, that this is Messiah, is the one whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote of. In other words, Jesus of Nazareth. Now I want you to notice as we turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, Jesus of Nazareth, of whom Moses wrote of and the prophets. Now, all we got to do is go back to Moses first. We can go back to Deuteronomy. I'm not asking you to turn there, but Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and verse 18, Moses clearly says there would be one come like him, and that, in other words, he's talking about the Messiah that would come into the world that people would believe on. Also in Daniel 9, verse 24 through 27, he's called Messiah the Prince by the prophet Daniel. And in Malachi, he's called the Messenger of the Covenant by the prophet Malachi. So he was prophesied to come in the law of Moses and also in the prophets. Now notice as we come here to chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 39 through 47. And basically, we find in this passage, if one will believe the Scripture, they would believe on Jesus Christ. If one rejects the Scriptures as a whole, they will usually reject Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord said this in beginning in verse 39, Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. Now, notice this. They testify of the Lord Jesus. Now, it says in verse 40, And you will not come to me that you might have life, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me, verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So those that believed in Moses, believed his writings, when Christ came, they received him. Now notice back in chapter 1, reading verse 45 again. And it says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we see here clearly the identification of Christ, and as Philip goes and tells him. Now notice what Nathanael says first in verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Now, when he says, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? We know that the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth, according to Luke 4, verse 16 through 30. Now, Nazareth had become known as an obscure little town, remote and of no significance. And we find that Nathanael knew the Scriptures. He knew where that Christ would be born, that is Bethlehem. And so Nazareth was a humble little place, but it actually fits the humility of Christ, Isaiah 53 and verse 2. Now, so he asked this question, can any good thing, verse 46, come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and let me show you. Verse 47. Notice as we come to this passage. Now let's consider verse 47, 48, and 49, the faith of Nathanael. I want you to see that he was a religious man. He was a man that he had been waiting for the Messiah to come. He's a man that believed the Scripture. So when it was proven and shown to him, he knew the Old Testament. And he was, we're going to see here, he was a devout man. He was a sincere man. He desired spiritual things. He was a seeker of truth. He was a lover of God. Now notice what we find in verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So we see his faith, three verses describing his faith. We have two verses describing the promise that was made to him. And there's a few things I want to point out here. First of all, notice in verse 47, And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, we do find this expression again, once or twice in Scripture, in whom is no guile. But first of all, notice, when he says an Israelite indeed, the Bible said in Romans 9, 6, not all Israel are of Israel. In other words, there are those in the nation that were Jews that were not true Israelites. They were not true believers. There are those in the church today that are not true believers, but they would say, well, I go to such and such a church. We find that when he says an Israelite indeed, means that he is one who sees God, one who seeks God, and one who prevails with God. In other words, this is an important statement that's given here. Now, the word Israel, we know that Jacob obtained that name from the Lord in Genesis 32, verse 28. You remember when he was leaving and going back toward his country that he had came from with his wives and children, that Esau was coming. Esau was wanted to kill him at one time. And so when we see the word Israel, this is somewhat a picture of the new birth, because Jacob needed help. Jacob had basically, he was come to the place, he was broken. He had come to the end of himself, and he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He would not let God go until God gave him an answer and blessed him. Again, you can read that in Genesis chapter 32, the last several verses. So Jacob was broken and brought to his end, and he needed help. And as he would not turn loose of the Lord, we find that the Lord said, "Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel." Israel means governed by God. It means the one who sees God, and it means one who prevails with God, a prince with God. It's a wonderful name. I know that many of the Jews blaspheme that name, and many of them lived up to it. Here's one. But still yet, it has great meaning. And notice in Romans chapter 2, hanging on to the text here. Notice in Romans chapter 2, and I'll give you an example. In Romans chapter 2, just reading a few verses. And by the way, think about the Apostle Paul. At one time, he was Saul of Tarsus. And he became a Christian. He became a believer in Acts chapter 9. You know what? He became a part of the Israel of God. He became an Israelite indeed. He became a part of the Israel of God, which is the church, Galatians 6 and in verse 16. So now notice in Romans, I'm reading in chapter 2, and we're coming down to verse 28 and 29. He says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that of circumcision, which is outward in the flesh." Now look at verse 29. "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." In this time in which we live, you can refer to it as the dispensation of grace, the church age, whatever, since Christ died on the cross, we find clearly that the Jewish people who rejected Christ, they were not an Israelite indeed. They're part of the nation of Israel. But he talks here about the heart. So now when we come back to John chapter 1 and verse 47, he says here, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed." In other words, he was a seeker of God, governed by God, and when the Messiah was pointed out to him, he immediately believed on him and called him Rabbi, the Son of God, and the King of Israel. So that's very important that we see this way. Israelite indeed, again, one that loves God, that knows God, that is a follower of God. Now, again, not all Israel are of Israel. Now, notice the next thing that the Lord says about him. And he says, "In whom is no guile." In other words, there's no deceit or dishonesty in this man. He's honest. He has pure motives. You know how the Lord knew that? The Lord can read our hearts and our minds. We can't do that. And in this man's life, there was no hidden agenda. There was no hypocrisy. Wednesday night, we'll be looking at hypocrisy in our text in Proverbs. So I'll not spend that much time on it now. But if you want some verses, I'll give you three. And we're going to read one, at least one of these, I believe, Wednesday night. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. You can write that verse down. And also Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 5. There's some believers there that where it says there was no guile, again, found in their mouth. But the one in 1 Peter chapter 2, make sure I give that right. Yes. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings. So that's basically what it means. One other passage I'll give you is in Psalms 32 and in verse 2. Psalms 32 and verse 2. This is a psalm of David. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 together. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins is covered. David understood what that meant. And he said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So we find that the Lord Jesus gave testimony of Nathanael as a true Israelite, an Israelite indeed, in whom was no guile. There was no deceit in his heart. Now notice as we come to verse 48. In verse 48, one other thing that he says here about him. In verse 48, he says this. He said, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. In other words, the Lord sees and knows the hearts and the thoughts of men and women, each and every one of us. We cannot do that. We can pray about it. We can assume. We can ask God for wisdom. But we do not see into the hearts of men as the Lord does. Think about this. Think about a passage that is close. You can write down 2 Chronicles 16:9. But notice in John 4, a passage real close to us. Notice here. John chapter 4, and I want to read from verse 14 through 16 and then verse 29, the woman at the well. See, Jesus knew Nathanael's heart, and he also knew how he would respond. He knew the heart of the woman at the well and her sin. He tells her all about herself, and he knew how she would respond. And he knows our hearts. And he knows how that we will respond to his word. Notice in chapter 4, and we read here in, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Come down with me to verse 29. She perceived right, didn't she? Notice verse 29. Now she became a believer. And went and witnessed to the whole town that she lived in. And many others believed according to verse 41, 42. But in verse 29, she says this. Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So coming back now to chapter 1. The Lord knows our hearts. Now notice in verse 49. In verse 49 again, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, that word means master. Thou art the Son of God. Notice, this is one of the first testimonies to Christ being the Son of God. So he said, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Public confession here. And again, this is one of the first expressed beliefs in the Scripture that Jesus is from heaven, that He is the Son of Almighty God. So what an amazing faith. What an amazing faith. He had faith in the writings of Moses. And then when Christ come, he immediately had faith in Christ because he'd already believed the Scripture. So if we believe the Bible, then we're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the second thing this evening is His promise. His promise. Because of His faith, the Lord made promises to him. In verse 50 and in verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And by the way, he would have seen greater things than these. Not only in Christ's ministry, but even after that Christ would die and would be raised again, the thousands that would be saved, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So because of his faith, he would see the coming of the Holy Spirit, the glory and power of Pentecost. He would see the miracles that Jesus would perform, especially as one of his apostles and disciple. He would see great things. But even after Christ died and resurrected and ascended back into heaven, there would be great things it would take. So he would see the coming of the kingdom of God. Now notice again verse 50 and 50, well, verse 51 now. Let's come to verse 51. So he's going to see greater things. He's going to see the kingdom of God. He's going to see the day of Pentecost. He's going to see miracles. He's going to see multitudes that are saved and men and women entering into this spiritual kingdom. But in verse 51, and he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now I want you to think about a passage I want to read to you, and you write it down. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This passage is a picture, not a picture, but it's the truth, I should say, of Christ's ascension that we read about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And we're going to see here that Christ ascends after His death, burial, and resurrection. He ascends back to heaven before His Father, who is called the Ancient of Days. And here's the passage, verse 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Keep in mind, in our text, in John 1, verse 51, He's referred to as the Son of Man. So in Daniel, verse 13 and 14, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Now listen, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. In other words, after his accomplishments at Calvary and his resurrection from the dead, he ascends back to the Father, which is the Ancient of Days. And it says in verse 14, and there was given him, now listen, something was given to him after that he accomplished redemption for humanity. And it says, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That spiritual kingdom has been in operation since Pentecost, and it has not been destroyed. The gates of hell has not prevailed against the Lord's church. So now notice in verse 51 again, coming back to verse 51. Keep in mind, John 3 and verse 13 said that Jesus descended from heaven. What we find in our text is that he says here in verse 51 that heaven is open. Notice verse 51. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What we have here in this passage, this carries us back to Jacob's vision at Bethel. I'm going to read just a few verses in Genesis 28. If you want to turn there, you can. But Genesis chapter 28, and I think this ties together. Genesis chapter 28. Now this is before that Jacob has had his encounter with the angel of the Lord and his name was changed. This is much before that. In Genesis 28, Jacob is having to leave his mother and father and brother. His brother is wanting to kill him. And he's going to Padan Aram. And on his way, he takes him out. And notice as we come down, I'm just going to kind of cut into the text, verse 12. It says, And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Now think about this. Jesus is that ladder, that connection between heaven and earth. He says that he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. By the way, the Tower of Babel never did make it. The Lord tore it down. And he goes on and said, Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. What he's doing, he's making a promise to Jacob. He has a dream. There is a ladder that reaches from the earth to heaven, connecting the heaven and the earth. And there's angelic beings descending and ascending on this ladder. In other words, God is showing Jacob, he is concerned with his affairs. And the ladder is showing connection between God and man. Jacob is being shown here that God is going to be with him. And he says in verse 15, And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. We find that Jacob, when he wakes up, he's a little afraid. He said in verse 17, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And of course, it's Bethel in verse 19. And Jacob in verse 20, 21, and 22 makes a vow that he will serve the God of heaven. Now let's go back to John chapter 1. So God is showing Jacob that he's concerned with him and his affairs and his life, and that he's going to be with him. And he gives him a vision of a ladder and angels descending and ascending back and forth, showing that God is on the throne and he's going to be with this man on the earth throughout his entire life. Okay? Now, notice as we come back, I want to read verse 51 one more time before we close. What we see here is reconciliation, an open door to heaven. Jesus is the way. He's the mediator who connects God and man. And so Christ, in this picture, would be as the ladder in Genesis chapter 28, which unites heaven and earth, communion between God and between man. And this is what he's saying to Nathanael. Notice as we read this, verse 51 again, And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, and when the Lord uses those words together, he's saying, really stand up and pay attention. Like, truly, truly. This is a promise to you, Nathanael. He's saying, Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, when Christ ascended back in heaven, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He's on His throne. He's given the kingdom and dominion and power. And on the day of Pentecost, we find that the Spirit of God came and began a unique ministry. And that spiritual kingdom is clearly in operation from then until this day. So Christ is that ladder that unites heaven and earth. And so this is the promise that we see here that was given to Nathanael. It's an amazing statement, but I believe this does connect with the promises of Genesis chapter 28. Now, where do we find Nathanael the last time we see his name? Actually, Bartholomew. He's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13 in a prayer meeting waiting for Pentecost. Now, let me give you just a few words of tradition. Don't know that it's true. Tradition says that he carried the gospel to India, but he was martyred in Armenia. So I don't know that that's true, but tradition says that. Would you stand with me, please? Father, again tonight, we thank You for this day that You've given us, this time You've given us together. Lord, bless the singing now. Lord, in the prayer request that will be lifted up tonight. Father, we just pray that we would be as Nathanael. Pray that we'd have a love for Scripture. And Lord, if we have a love for Scripture, we'll truly have a love for Thee. We pray Your blessings upon each and every one in this assembly. For it's in Jesus Christ, and we pray, Amen.